You are watching Game Time Decisions. I am Gabriel Morenzi. Welcome to the program that puts his money where his fantasies are on the Fantasy Sports Television Network. We want to wish everybody a happy Thanksgiving. If you're carving up a turkey right now, we're going to try to help you carve up the book this afternoon. Paul Bowie's going to step up and in. No rest for the wicked for Paul Bowie. Forget about a holiday, man. All a holiday means is there's actually games on during the day, and that's a good thing. Right now, the Minnesota Vikings are rolling the Detroit Lions. That's a good thing as well because we're on the Minnesota Vikings. We're on the Vikings, actually, in all of our Westgate Super Contest entries. I loaded up on the Vikings. I got a piece of the over. That long field goal prop, I'm not sure if it's going to come in. We had a 53-yard field goal that was blocked. We've had an extra point that's been blocked. But Detroit have Minnesota right where they want them, right? Are Detroit ever leading a football game 20-3? Of course not. Detroit Lions will get back in this thing, and I'm sure the National Football League will do their best to let them back in it. Tony Corrente is refereeing this football game, but we'll get to Corrente in a second. So, yeah, Paul Bovey's going to join us, going to break down Dallas Cowboys and the L.A. Chargers, not San Diego, L.A., man. The L.A. Chargers got the New York Giants and the Washington Redskins. When they scheduled this game between the New York Giants and the Washington Redskins, I'm sure they didn't think it would be the train wreck that it is right now. Washington Redskins are done. Giants have been done for like a month and a half or so. But nevertheless, we'll be laying it down on the football game. We'll give you some picks. We got some props for you. Gary and Thorne will join me in studio. We'll talk some DFS with Gary and Thorne, see who he likes. We focus so much in on the Thanksgiving DFS, and we're on Case Keenum. That's a good thing. You know, man, Latavius Murray nearly scored. You know, he popped one from like the 15 to I think about the 3 or so. And then they gave him the ball again, but he got swarmed. And I was hoping they were going to give him the ball again, but Kyle Rudolph was wide open in the end zone. And I understand Rudolph just scored another touchdown right now. So Rudolph got 2 touchdowns. Rudolph the red-nosed reindeer cashing in early holiday style right now. Case Keenum, a couple of touchdown passes as well. McKinnon's got a touchdown, too. So, yeah, we're gonna talk DFS with Gary and Thorne. We'll see who he likes maybe this afternoon. Maybe on Sunday, week 12. We're already starting to kick the tires on week 12 a little bit. And, of course, on Sunday, there's another big football game taking place, the 105th edition of the Grey Cup. As the Toronto Argonauts are getting 7 points against the Calgary Stampeders. Who better to jump in and break it down with us than the raging redhead, Cam Stewart. That's right, Cam Stewart will join me in studio. And, you know, there was no Red Heat and Rage radio today. And, you know, we appreciate it. Some of you actually missed it. And I told you, hey, you missed it? You missed Cam? Don't worry, man. Cam's going to be on Game Time Decisions today. We're talking Grey Cup. And I'm starting to buy into the Toronto Argonauts plus the points right now. But I do think the Calgary Stampeders are going to win this football game. We're going to be teasing this game, man. And I tease a hell of a lot less than I used to. I was thinking about teasing the Vikings in the over this morning. I was like, nah, let's just take the over the Vikings instead. Let's go for it, man. We're all in. All right. So it's NFL football today. We got one college game on the board. We'll break that game down as well. We've got the Egg Bowl. Hopefully, you don't end up with egg on our faces. So speaking of egg on our faces, the National Football League, well, you know, their Super Bowl should be called the Egg Bowl because they have nothing but egg on their faces. Seems like our intro and our opening rage on a daily basis is just ripping the National Football League. And you know what? We're going to do it again. You think because it's Thanksgiving, I'm going to be soft or something like that? Come on, man. You know, I regret even saying happy Thanksgiving. I didn't mean it. Thanksgiving is like the biggest scam, man. You know, yeah, really? People are jerks. Well, let's eat some birds and say thanks and pretend that we're nice people for 12 hours. Screw you. Let's make some money. enjoy your stuff, all right? You know, we live in another little type of bubble. You know, we're not in this bubble. I hate this time of the year. The commercials on TV, Jared's Peoples and all this other crap. Buy diamond this, buy a car that. The only thing I'm trying to get here is some freaking winners. And it's hard to do. It's hard to do in a National Football League when you have clown-ass referees like Tony Corrente. I don't know how many of you saw the first couple of minutes of the football game today. I believe it was Stephon Diggs. Stephon Diggs bounced off the turf like a basketball. Like, you know, he couldn't have been any more down, okay? He was blatantly down. But the Vikings are so hot right now, the ball popped up right to Adam Thielen in the end zone. There's Tony Corrente, touchdown. Yeah, never mind the fact that, you know, people in the parking lot that aren't in the stadium knew he was down. So, whatever. I've said this time and time again. I don't know what it is, but you have all these referees in the National Football League that have been around forever, and they sort of have authoritative-sounding names and have been around. Well, oh, Tony Corrente. Oh, yeah, Corrente's been a ref for 14 years. Corrente. Corrente blows for the last 14 years. Ed Hockley sucks, all right? The guy should spend less time in the gym working on his pipes, and he should spend more time in, you know, watching tape and figuring out how to referee a damn football game. Jeff Triplett can't figure out heads or tails. Oh, geez, I don't know. Is it heads? Is it called tails? I know you said heads. I don't know. It's tails. Yeah, they're a bunch of morons. We haven't had a good referee since Mike Carey, who was a horrible analyst on television, but he was a damn good referee. That guy was by the book. It was a penalty or it was not a penalty. Mike Carey was a good referee. All these other guys, they're clowns. I can go down the list, all of them. And Mike Pereira. So that Mike Pereira, you know Mike Pereira, former referee, head of the referees. Now he's like the referee czar. Oh, I know all. I'm Mike Pereira. Yeah, he sits up there, you know, in the Fox TV studios. And, you know, he comes on. Oh, gee, shucks, you know. This is kind of tough for him because, you know, Tony Corrente was the best man at my wedding. And then they had a bunch of shots, yeah. The best man at your wedding. You were the former head of the NFL refs. You have Tony Corrente doing a piece of crap job. I'm sure the fact that he's your best friend and was the best man at your wedding had nothing to do with the fact that he's staying around. Ed Hockley's around because he's a novelty. Jeff Triplett's around because, I don't know, man. It's like a Make-A-Wish Foundation or something like that. I can go down the list. Who else? You all suck. Oh, yeah, Steritor. Yeah, Steritor. Oh, Steritor's great. You notice the pattern here. Yeah. Azuri? but anyways. Yeah, Steritor. He does college basketball, too. I don't know what you're worse at. College basketball, and they praise him. Oh, he's such a great official, man. He does football and basketball. Yeah, I could ref. I could play basketball and football, too, if I did them poorly. Doesn't matter if you do two things at once if you suck. How about, hey, Steritor, how about you figure out how to ref one sport? Terrible. You're terrible. Happy Thanksgiving. My ass. You guys don't deserve anything. You guys don't deserve to eat turkey. You guys deserve to eat dead rats out of the alley. Big, fat New York City rats. Happy Thanksgiving. What's your hatred? What, do you guys hate the Ford family? What are you, communists? What's wrong with the Fords? Oh, he's screwing the Lions. All right, so who do you think is the best officiated sport? You know, it's not the NFL, I'll tell you that much. It's not the NFL, all right? You know, college football, they're pretty good in college football. And the good thing about college football, you don't need to throw a challenge flag. They'll just challenge everything anyways if you bitch. That's a good thing. And to get it right, all you have to do is say, hey, yo, that, check that out, man, come on. And they'll do it. And it works. They do it pretty fast, and it works. All right? NHL, people in Canada cry about NHL referees. NHL referees are the best in the business by far. No other sport comes close to being as good as the NHL dudes do. Major League Baseball guys are pretty good, but they're just fat-ass, arrogant jerk-offs. And NBA, they're just puppeteers doing what the league wants them to do. In the end, I think the NHL actually do have the best officials, the linesmen, the referees. They're athletic. They can keep up. And the NHL actually pushes its referees. You know, the NHL always has these new dudes and these young guys. The NFL's been the same old, clan. It's like watching The Sopranos, watching the NFL refs. And you all suck. Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues.
Playing daily fantasy basketball this year? Consider Daily Roto your go-to resource. Whether you play on DraftKings or FanDuel, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. With a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, there's no better place to get your NBA DFS content. Better yet, you can save 10% using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium and learn more about our awesome product.
Game Time Decisions on a Fantasy Sports Network. We are live. I appreciate it if you're joining us right now. I know a lot of you listen to the replay after, watch the videos after, but those of you watching right now, we'll get you a halftime line and a halftime pick. Camera 2, Drew, has just gone to get the computer right now, and considering this studio isn't like Time Warner or anything like that, I don't really know it took so long. Here he is. Nothing beats a good old MacBook Pro. Great, great piece of hardware here. If you're like a four-year-old child, thing sucks, all right? Thing sucks. MacBook, you guys suck. Apple, you're like the most overrated thing since the Montreal Canadiens. But that's another story. You know what's not overrated? You know, Paul Bovey. And how about Paul Bovey? Paul Bovey's joined us from airports where he's had to pedal for power. He's joined us from hotel rooms in Indonesia, like all over the place. And a lot of people, a lot of wimps out there who are now on the list, actually, with an X. You know, some regulars on Thursday, even though Paul routinely joins on Thursdays. Ooh, I can't do it. It's Thanksgiving and stuff. Yeah, because it's Thanksgiving, you can't talk about sports for 9 minutes, right? Paul Bovey talks about sports 24/7, 365. That is if he's not at the track. What's going on, Paul? How you doing, buddy?
Well, I'm not at Tijuana, but in Tijuana.
Yeah, you and I still have to go to Tijuana sometime. I'm counting on you to keep me out of trouble, but I want to tear it up over there.
Yeah, we got to do that, Gabe. Anytime, I'll be your escort. I'll take care of you. I'll protect you. We're all good.
All right, so... all kidding aside, so what's your day today? You going to kick back betting on some football? Do you have any major plays today?
I'm on this Viking game, and it's working out so far. I'm over 43, under 46.5 live betting, and I've got the Viking team total, and I hope I'm not mushing myself, but I've got it over 23.5. Let's see what happens. Don't need much productivity in the second half, and I'm kind of glad Detroit got that late touchdown just to push things along. And I caught a second quarter play on Detroit -2.5. So it was all good. A couple props I'm looking at later on. It's a couple interesting games there.
Let me just get the halftime number out here for guys. It's rare. I do this every night online, but it's rare we have fresh NFL lines on the air here. So Detroit Lions are -0.5 point in the second half, over under 23.5. And I kidded earlier when it was 20-3. I said the Detroit Lions, they got the Vikings right where they want them. Matt Stafford, nobody has more fourth quarter comebacks than Matt Stafford. Yet it's not like the Detroit Lions have a million wins in franchise history under Matt Stafford. So what's the common theme here? They're always trailing going into the fourth quarter. Like, the Lions are always trailing. And if there's one team, and I'm on the Vikings too here, but I'm just stating, Paul, if there's one team that won't panic being down 10 at the half, it is the Detroit Lions.
Well, this is a solid Vikings team, and Detroit really hasn't shown any sign that they could slow them down. The Vikings had this lengthy drive of, 95 yards. A deal has been open. I don't know what the stats are on Keenum, but it just looks like the Vikings are in the driver's seat here, and Detroit's going to be playing catch-up all the way. So maybe you get in there and get a late cover, but I don't see the Vikings relinquishing this lead.
I jumped on Case Keenum over 19.5 completions, or excuse me, over 21.5, 21.5. Dak Prescott's 19.5, over 21.5. Keenan's 14 of 18 for 189 yards and 2 touchdowns. Not too bad for some first half numbers. I played Adam Thielen over 5.5 receptions. He's been targeted 6 times. He's hauled in 4 catches. I hate middling games. Last night, Paul, I tried to middle a game. I was on Wichita State on the money line, and I was like, you know, Notre Dame's not going to quit here. Give me Notre Dame plus the 11.5. I should have just grabbed Notre Dame plus the 480 on the money line or whatever it was at the time. But instead of middling it, I ended up splitting because Notre Dame came all the way back and won. But I'm inclined to believe that Detroit -0.5 point, and I think the over 23.5 is in play here in the second half.
I don't like 23.5. I'm just not impressed with the way Detroit is moving the football. I think they've gotten a few breaks here, and I think the refs also shaded their calls towards Detroit. They don't have a running game to speak of. They've never had a running game to speak of, and I'm not fond of those types of teams that have to go back and pass every play. So 23.5 here, I'm just not a fan of it. I'm not going either way. It's just not worth the play to me.
All right, Detroit Lions minus half a point, 23.5 is the second half. I think the best play of the second half are the Detroit Lions in the second half. But nevertheless, let's move on to a football game that they're kicking off in a couple hours' time. Chargers and Cowboys. Let's get an updated number right now. Chargers minus 1.5, total 46.5. You've had a good feeling for both the Rams and the Chargers this year, of course, being in Los Angeles. So we're counting on you here for this one. What do you make of this football game? One thing I'll tell you, it's not often the Chargers are road chalk, and Phillip Rivers just 9-16 in his career as road chalk. Sean Lee is out. Tyron Smith is back in. So Dak Prescott's blind side will be protected. Dak has really struggled over the last couple of games. What's your take on the game?
First of all, Dallas has not been reliable offensively, and that's good news for them that Tyron Smith is back in the lineup, because it will, I think, lead to Dallas being somewhat competitive offensively. However, Dez Bryant figures to be blanketed by Casey Hayward. Jason Witten has certainly not been reliable. His productivity is waning as he's gotten older. There's 43 catches this year. 25 of them have come in three games. And then there's Terrence Williams. He had a blowout game against the Chiefs, but again, you got a guy who's had 0-1 and a pair of twos this year in terms of catches. Alfred Morris may be the X factor here, and a lot of people want to make Dallas's downfall an Ezekiel Elliott issue, and I don't see it that way, because Alfred Morris has averaged 6.2 yards per rush, and even stripping out the 70-yard run that he had, he's still averaging 4.5 yards a rush over the last two games, a three-time 1,000-yard rusher early on, 2012, 13, 14. This guy has some he's got some productivity in him. And if he could get some blocking up front and Dallas could get that ground game going, it may free up Terrence Williams for some of those completions downfield. I don't see a lot of scoring in this game. If you look at the San Diego Chargers, they've only exceeded 24 points one time outside of that 54 last week against Buffalo, and that was against my New York Giants, 27 points. The ground game with Melvin Gordon is very inconsistent. He's averaged 3.8. He had an 80-yard run against New England. Take that out. He's at 3.4. And then you look at four games in there. I think it was against Denver, Philadelphia, Miami, and one other team, 53 carries for 100 yards. San Diego isn't all that productive. I don't see a lot of points here, and I can't see Dallas pulling off an upset now that their left tackle is back in the lineup.
I agree with you, and I disagree. I agree in Dallas. A lot of people are buying into the Chargers because they always remember what they saw last, right? And what we saw last is Dallas quit in the second half, but it was 9-7 at the half. I think Tyron Smith being back is a big deal. I agree with you as far as Moore's concerned. I think the loss on the offensive line is bigger than Elliott. Everything falls apart when Smith isn't there. It's just a domino effect. You mentioned it too. The wide receivers just have to step up. I've never been a big Terrence Williams fan. Players from Baylor suck, dude. All right? Yeah, they're flashy in college. They're not NFL. They don't step up in the National Football League. I do think there's going to be some points here, though. I sort of just think you got a desperate Cowboys team. Their offense steps up. And, my concern is the Cowboys' defense. And I do like the Cowboys to win a game because I just sort of think Phillip Rivers will find a way to screw it up at some point in time. But the Cowboys' defense, with and without Sean Lee, I don't need to tell you, Paul, it's amazing the disparity. They're giving up 34 points a game without him and like 17.5. With them, and it just happens on a weekly basis. So I think that Phillip Rivers could throw the ball around a bit, but I do think the pokes, but we should note, the Chargers are allowing 17.2 points per game in the last six games, and the under is 4-2 because of that. All right, Giants and the Redskins. The New York Giants stopped the bleeding a little bit last week.
You know, I just want to expound upon your Sean Lee point, because without Sean Lee in the lineup, Dallas allows 6.0 yards per carry to the running back. So if Melvin Gordon is to get off, it's going to be right here. And I'm not going to say that Dallas is going to upset here. I was going to go over 8.5 on punts if the left tackle was not back in the lineup. I'm saying it's going to be a competitive game. It could shade to the low side here. I think 48 was an ambitious number. At 47, it's more fairly priced. But I'm probably going to get on this game in live wagering.
Yeah, live wagering is live wagering is the way to go. We all try to force plays before games. What any other props you're taking a look at here? I think Dak Prescott's going to have a much better game. I know he knows that he's under the microscope right now. He sort of got a pass at first, though. Elliott's out. Now, you know, people are starting to write columns. Hey, look at this guy's quarterback rating over the last two games. Look at the bad reads. There's all kinds of, you know, videos up on Twitter right now about Dak not seeing things. Is it the sophomore slump? I don't know. I think it's more so that the offensive line's not there. No one's getting open. Nothing's really working for them. My deal with this game is with Dallas is it's gut check time. Jay Ajayi said they quit. Alshon Jeffrey said it was the easiest game the Eagles played all year. There was no resistance from the Cowboys in the second half. You know, that's rock bottom. The Giants responded, you know, when they were exposed for quitting. We'll see if the Cowboys can today. I like Dak Prescott over 19.5 completions, but I'll have some props for you guys at the end of the show. Giants and Redskins. Giants said get it done last week. Shocked the football world and beating the Kansas City Chiefs outright.
Well, all I can say about this game is the Giants did shock a lot of people, myself included, and I'm happy they won a game because everybody was saying the Giants had thrown in the towel, and I hate the word quit, in my opinion, is overused. I don't believe many NFL players quit. It's just that against the Rams, they were extremely overmatched. They had several defenders out. Goodson is their run stopper. He's out here, which means that Samaje is going to get his yardage here because Thompson was placed on the IR. I think he's an excellent investment here to go over the number, whatever it is. He'll probably have 80 to 90 yards. Last week, Kareem Hunt didn't get enough carries. Had he carried the ball more, I think he would have gotten 120 yards, but he was limited to 15 and had 73. The Giants are not good against the run. But one stat I will point out is that in divisional games in November and December, when the total is at 45 or greater, they are 150 and 90 to the under, which leads one to believe that this game will go to the low side. And the Redskins place their center on IR as well as another offensive lineman on the IR this week. The Giants have two offensive linemen out. So it makes sense that in spite of the Redskins scoring 68 and 65 points the last 2 weeks, that this one will see the low side of the number.
You mentioned P. Ryan. P. Ryan's over under is 68.5 yards. 68.5 yards rushing. Darkwa is 64.5. I actually like the Darkwa prop to go over because I think Eli's just going to hand the ball off a lot tonight. All right, Paul. So we've got... We've got the Egg Bowl this evening, a full slate of college football tomorrow. We've got the rivalry weekend coming up in the college football world. Any thoughts on the Egg Bowl this evening? And if not this one, have you taken a look at tomorrow's college football card? What are you betting on?
Okay. I did not take a look at the Egg Bowl in depth, but I have been watching Mississippi, and they have one of the worst run defenses in football. So I figure that if Mississippi State really wants to hang a big number on this team, they probably can do it right here. And you know these intrastate rivalries, these teams don't let up. They want to basically, it's for recruiting purposes, and they want to make a statement. So I could see Mississippi State putting up 45 to 50 points here. And I'm not exaggerating there. As far as tomorrow, I have several games that I'm looking at. I am leaning heavily towards TCU here. Baylor has two very key defenders out. It's 24.5 points. They can win and earn a rematch with Oklahoma. And I think they're going to hang 50 on this team without a problem. Kenny Hill is back. He was questionable as to whether he would return. He will return here. TCU is going to win this one going away. And, you know, speaking about Max, and I know you don't like Max. Well, I like the MAC conference, and I could see your Buffalo Bills hanging quite a number on these Ohio Bobcats, who the other night, I have to tell you, or 2 weeks ago against Cato Nelson of Akron, 22 of 38 for Cato Nelson. Cato Nelson came back a couple days ago against Kent and went 6 of 20 for 69 yards. So what does that tell you about the Ohio Bobcat defense? There's not much there. I think it'll be a high-scoring game, go over the number, and Buffalo will probably ring up about 42 points.
Buffalo Bulls getting 4.5 points in this football game, total 60.5. All right, we've got about 2 minutes left here, Paul. So a game I'll ask you about is another team in your backyard, the Saints and the Rams. I was on the Vikings last week. I thought it was a good spot for them. You know, as good of a season as it's been for the Rams, things can fall apart in a hurry. They still have to play against the Philadelphia Eagles, too, in a couple of weeks as well. So the Rams, need to stop the bleeding here, get a win. Meanwhile, the Saints, the Saints are blowing people out. The Saints are rallying back late in football games. You know, you name a way, low scoring, high scoring, the Saints are finding ways to win football games right now. It's amazing, too, with the Saints. They can run the football, but they've held 6 of their last 8 opponents to 20 or fewer points the New Orleans Saints have. What's your take on this Saints-Rams game?
Well, there's been a little luck in there. They got to face Tampa Bay. They got to face your Buffalo Bills, who are futile offensively. And there was one other team in there. They got to face Chicago and Mitch Trubisky, and all of a sudden they faced a good offense in Washington, and Kirk Cousins lit them up 22 or 32 for over 300. I don't know how they didn't win that football game, but, the ball played out, the game played out the way it did, and there was a couple key first downs that Washington didn't get, a couple questionable decisions by Kirk Cousins, who's been all world this year. You can't question that. But this game's going to go over the total. Gabe, these are two offensive-minded football teams, and now New Orleans has some injury problems. Marcus Lattimore is probably out. Kenny Vaccaro was out last week, and he may be out this week again. He's their safety. Going to be some problems there, and I definitely see this game getting over the 53.5 points. I think it is going to turn into a shootout again, as it did last week for New Orleans.
Paul Bovey, VegasInsider.com. You can follow him on Twitter, at Paul Bovey. Paul, happy Thanksgiving. Thanks a lot for taking the time to be with us this afternoon.
Thanks, Gabe.
There's Paul Bovey with us. All right, we're going to take a quick break. The Raging Redhead, Cam Stewart, joins us in studio. We'll get his take on these Turkey Day games, the Egg Bowl, and, of course, the Grey Cup, the 105th Grey Cup. Coming up next.
If you're playing daily fantasy basketball on DraftKings or FanDuel this NBA season, you need to sign up for Daily Roto. Built by a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. Better yet, you can save 10% off using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium to learn more about their product.
Game time decisions on Fantasy Sports Network continues. The Minnesota Vikings are knocking on the door right now. They're on the 2-yard line very, very quickly to start the second half. We did grab a piece of the over 23.5. I love Paul Bovey, but I disagreed with pretty much everything that he stated besides the fact the Cowboys win. But I'm not always right, and I am a very stubborn person. Let's see if the Vikings can pound this in. I did grab Detroit minus a half a point in the second half, but I'm on the Vikings already. And
touchdown. Yeah, pretty close.
Is he in?
He looks close enough to being in. Yeah, he's in.
Touchdown.
Touchdown, Vikings.
Touchdown.
Yeah, it's going to be one of them Thanksgivings. I can just feel it.
And I know you're all waiting and dying to hear who it was. I'm not going to tell you. Latavius Murray.
Booer.
What do you mean, boo? Settle down, camera two, Drew.
He needs Diggs. Diggs.
Let's go Gamecocks.
How you doing?
Good to see you, Cam.
Nice to see you, buddy. Didn't see you on the radio side today.
Good.
I'll see you tomorrow. I wouldn't
you got
say
your
really.
DraftKings yeah, shirt. You're sitting in a DX racer.
Yeah, I feel pretty comfortable in this chair, actually. I could fall asleep. All the yeast I've eaten today. It was pizza day today. I went bonkers. Anyway.
And that is different than like.
No, no, I just, I know, I ate quite a bit. It was a bit.
That once again is
no,
different
but the
than
crust,
like,
the crust was a little thick. Like it was just like there was a lot of dough, and it's really, it's knocking me out.
Yeah, I know.
A lot of dough.
Because normally you fast.
Fair enough.
I'm just in one of those moods today.
I understand, buddy. Yeah. I understand.
Just all kidding aside, Hey, how about them Vikings? They're kicking the crap out of the Detroit Lions right now.
It's interesting because, you know, we got
27-10.
We got futures on the Minnesota Vikings, which is good, but I can't lie to the people, Gabe. I thought the Lions were going to, you know, be all over them today, and what do I know? Obviously nothing, because the Vikings came to play on the road, and Matt Stafford doesn't look good. He all of his passes have been a little bit off, and a couple positive calls by the referees, but the Lions look like a team that, you know, not they're not ready to play. Yet the Vikings, all they do is continue to show up week after week after week, and I don't care what you say, camera two, Drew. It doesn't matter if Bridgewater, Case Keenum is riding this horse to the very end.
There's no Bridgewater.
There's no Bridgewater. Case Keenum's doing great. He's running for first downs. He's throwing. He's making plays with his feet. Everything's going great.
If not for Carson Wentz, Case Keenum, MVP.
He's up there for sure. No, he's played great. You can't even laugh at that. The guy's been amazing.
Yeah, I'm kidding about
him. He's not the MVP, but he's damn good.
The guy's throwing lasers, man. The guy's throwing lasers. All right, Chargers and Cowboys coming up next. Chargers are now 1.5-point favorites. The total's down to 46.5 from the opener at 48.
Well, I'll tell you one thing, Gabe. I liked it a hell of a lot more earlier in the week, and I could see you know, you're switching to the Dallas Cowboys in this situation. I don't like the line movement. I do like this, though. I disagree with that. I'm with you on this one. I'm not with Bovey. I like over. I like Phillip Rivers. I like a lot of offense in this game. We got guys back. Key defensive players missing. One thing I could tell you, the Dallas Cowboys and Barrett's against the Eagles are going to come out. They're going to try to establish the run, and Dak Prescott's going to be throwing the ball. Dez Bryant had 14 targets last week, 6 catches. Hey, it's going to be really interesting. I'll tell you one thing, the Chargers are going to run all day, Gordon, against that defense. Over. This one, I thought this Lions game was going under, so what do I know?
I like where you're going with this. On Sunday night, of course, we had the debacle. Yeah,
we did.
I had the over that game. I ended up losing by 1 point.
Yeah, 1 point.
1 point. It was 47. It got to 46, and the Dallas Cowboys quit. I had a big bet. I put $250 on Dak Prescott to get over 21.5 completions. He was at 18 going into the fourth, and they quit. So the books lowered it to 19.5 today. I'm getting it back today because they're not quitting today. And I agree with Cam. I think the Chargers are going to be able to move the football. I think Phillip Rivers will throw them for a couple of touchdowns, et cetera. And Gordon will do his thing. Chargers will make a mistake. Chargers are always in close football games. But I think Dak Prescott's really going to respond well after two games and being called out right now by national media. Tyron Smith is back. I love that over 19.5 completions today because he's going to have to throw the football. I think it's going to be a higher scoring game. But I think the Cowboys get it done today. I don't trust the Chargers. Phillip Rivers, 9-16 against the spread in his career as a road favorite.
Want to hear this one about Dak Prescott? I didn't even know looking at the numbers. He hasn't thrown for over 250 yards since week 6 versus Green Bay. How about that? The guy doesn't throw a lot. Marantz, he's been brutal the last 4 weeks.
It's been
brutal.
A problem.
It's under 200 yards.
The
Big
entire
problem.
Team's been a problem.
Yeah, they have been. They've been awful.
No, I think the
we'll
Cowboys'
see.
Offense will be better today, but I don't think their defense will be much better.
Chargers will
think,
score.
They're not any good without Sean Lee. It's as simple as that. Mm-hmm. I can't say it like enough. I mean, I'm tired of saying it. Giants and Redskins. Giants and Redskins. Redskins -7. Nobody likes the Giants. That's why they're going to win.
I do.
I think the Giants might win this game outright.
I like the Giants a lot in this spot. I think it's a really, really, really good spot for New York. I disagree with one thing, though, Gabe. This game, I think, is going under the total. I think they're going to try to run the ball with Darkwa. Think about Darkwa the last 3 games, too. He's actually been pretty effective.
I've got 70
yards,
Darkwa,
72 yards, 74 yards. So the last 3 with Darkwa over 70 yards right now. So that prop, you might want to take a look at that. As for the Redskins, I think they're going to try to establish the run because the Giants have some run stuffers out. We'll see what happens in this game. I see a lot of clock tick, 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 under, but it's hard to take unders in the NFL, as you say, my friend.
It really is hard taking under.
With
the
these
NFL,
referees, pass interference, give them the ball, 5 yards, first down.
I understand some people don't like trends if you go back too far, if you go back to 1980 or 1990 or whatnot, but if we just go back to recent history, And let's just go back over the last 5 years, all right? And it's pretty much been the same teams. Manning's been there. Cousins been there, what, 5 years now, 4 years, mm-hmm. whatever it's been. So the last 5 years, the Washington Redskins have never beaten the New York Giants by more than 6 points.
I'm on the Giants, buddy.
Yeah. So, you know, either the Giants beat them. And last year, if you remember, the New York Giants played the last game of the regular season. They already had their playoff ticket punched. They were playing for absolutely nothing. The Redskins needed the win to get to the playoffs. The Redskins couldn't beat them. The Redskins never beat the Giants for one reason or another. Redskins are beaten down psychologically. They're beaten down physically. It's a crappy game. It's the worst game of the day by far, obviously. But I lean with the New York Giants plus the 7 and creeping to the over.
Creeping.
Mississippi and Mississippi State will be a more entertaining football game. First thing that catches my eye about this game is just the defense, or the lack of, I should mention, for the Rebels. 35.2. Yep. They score 33 points per game, though. So think about that. Their games are averaging 68.2 points per football game. Taking on a Mississippi State Bulldog team that scores 32.5 points per game. Paul Bovey just alluded to it. Mississippi State will get into the mid-40s here. But the Rebels' offense starting to respond, played good football over the last month or so. They're putting 30s on the board routinely as well. They were humiliated last year by the Bulldogs, a big rivalry game. They really don't like each other. It's a stupid name, the Egg Bowl. But me and Cam have been in Mississippi. They hate each other, all right? You know, they don't like anybody. They hate, you know, they hate outsiders. They hate insiders. All right. These teams, they don't like each other. Mississippi self-imposed bowl sanctions. Yep. So even if Mississippi are 5 wins, don't be fooled. Oh, if they get to 6, they're going to go bowling. They can't go bowling because of sanctions. Hugh Freeze is paying everybody. So they can't go bowling, but it doesn't mean they don't want to get to 6 still. And what better way? They're not going to a bowl game. This is their bowl.
Yep.
The Egg Bowl.
Yeah, the Egg Bowl.
Give me the Rebels plus the points, but I love the over. The Rebels are 9-2 to the over on the year.
Morency's right. These schools hate each other. When you go to the campus of Ole Miss, it's kind of like Lacoste shirts, polo shirts, and a lot of rich kids. Then you go to Mississippi State where we went, a lot of cheap cars and cowbells. Ding, 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 ding. But I will say about this, the recruiting class, it's a big story in this game. Morency mentioned it. I see the over, but too many points. You got to take the dog in this game. Mississippi has something to play for, and due to hate, Gabe, I think it's a closer game than anticipated.
I do like the over better than the side, all right? Great Cup. We'll have an opportunity tomorrow to really focus in on the Great Cup.
Love the
on Morency Unfiltered. But I'm starting to really like the Argos here, Cam. You and I saw this team up close, and the parts that I remember about the football game, I do remember that James Wilder looked like an NFL-caliber running back, man. This guy is a beast, man. Hard to stop. He started just 10 games, was fifth in the league in rushing with 872 yards, led the CFL with a 71-yard per carry average. Of course, his father played 10 years with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Exactly.
So the Argos do have Seems talent. Right. I think they hang around in this game. I think it'll be like last year, Cam. The Argos are going to give the stamp sort of like the game went to overtime last year. And we should note the last three Great Cups have all been decided by 6 points or less. Last year's went to overtime. I think we have a close football game, but Calgary's going to win this time. I don't think they choked 2 years in a row in the Great Cup.
Thing about Calgary is they played Toronto, beat them down both times this year, but the Argos are a much better team from that situation. With Wilder, Ricky Ray in clutch situations, they needed points. They got a touchdown at the end of that game against the Riders to get to the Great Cup. Mark Trestman, too. Think about it. Sometimes you got to look at the coach's situation. I'm not taking anything away from Double D, Dave Dickinson. This guy was a great player and a good coach, but Trestman and Ricky Ray in Great Cups, you put that together, collectively, Gabe, 5-1 between them. They got great minds, veteran attitude right there, and the Toronto Argonauts are a team that's peaking in the right direction. Game in Ottawa, I'll take the 7 points with the Boatmen.
What a mess with the Montreal Alouettes. You had Mark Trestman. You had Jim Pop.
You did.
Now you're in the basement, and now these two guys are in the Great Cup. The weather expected to be cloudy with a 30% chance of flurries with a high of -3 during the day and a 40% chance of flurries overnight. Yeah, what happens overnight is really irrelevant. They're not playing a game overnight.
It's going to be great weather for the Great Cup game compared to some.
Weather's
not even going to be a factor in this
football
game.
But in today's day and age, you know.
That's nothing.
Everyone, well, you know, it's a softer world we live in.
It is a softer world, Morency, but I don't see heavy snow or heavy wind. I see a pretty good conditions for a Great Cup game.
Total's 53.5. I am liking the over of this game. It's going to be a close game, guys. And trust me, even if you're not a big CFL fan, do yourself a favor and watch the game. Yep. Talking about people like you, Camera 2, Drew. watch the game.
No.
If I was in charge, I'd quiz people on the game, and I'd make sure not stuff that was just in the game reviews after. I'd make sure that you actually watched.
My brother's coming in from Calgary, Morenci. We're watching it together.
Shania Twain.
Families do.
Shania Twain. What's
Canadian
better?
Families.
The Grey Cup with Shania Twain or that punk ass Justin Timberlake? Give me Shania all day long, baby.
Shania still got it.
Did you know that you can listen to this show live on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network? Listen on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app, or download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 Fantasy Sports Network of its kind without a subscription. Check out YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page and participate in the programming there, where you can ask questions, discuss the topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your question. The number is 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your free fantasy source 24 hours a day.
Of course, no touchdown.
Told you.
I swear to God, I checked my Twitter from like an hour ago. I said, no team in the history of the NFL has been screwed like the Detroit Lions. If there's a controversial call, don't even review it. Just like move on and say, listen, it's against you, okay? Detroit just scored a touchdown, but it's not.
In the first half, they caught a break, though. Do you think that Galladay dropped the ball?
Yeah, Galladay dropped the ball. Also, I don't think I don't think Marvin Jones was in the end zone.
I don't either. I thought he was actually at the half.
All right, so what's the common theme here?
The refs stink.
Tony Corrente doesn't know what he's doing.
Exactly. I don't care.
But he was Mike Pereira's best man. Yeah, we learned that today, Gabe.
Yeah, I talked about this off the top of the program. And like I said, so Mike Pereira was the head of officiating before, right?
Yeah.
So I'm sure he was really being tough in his game reviews with the best man at his wedding.
That's true.
Yeah, you bring up good points. Easy report card.
It's an old boys network.
Yeah, you think?
Yeah, you're Jesus.
Honestly, the NFL refs are worse. They're worse than college referees now. The Canadian Football League referees.
They're the worst.
There have not been a season where these referees are brutal every week.
I mean, they're bad. They're bad.
They're real bad,
though.
Let's
go back to the 4 weeks where we had to endure not NFL referees and how noticeably different that was.
No, they were not bad.
They were pretty bad.
The Seahawks game where Green Bay, where the reversal touchdown.
That was the icing on the cake, but that was the point of no return.
It ain't no worse than the casual crap. It's all bad. They're all bozos.
Yeah.
Where are we going with this?
Right.
Hey, how's your portfolio?
Gary and Thorne joins
us. Yes. Hot roster reunion, Gary. Hey. How you doing, buddy?
Nice to see you. Let's actually, you know what? Quickly, Gary, and we'll get to the games, and we'll just sort of talk. We'll talk football here, and we'll get your opinion on who's cooler, Shania Twain or Justin Timberlake. For the record, I think it's a pretty obvious question.
Yeah.
Like,
I like Shania Twain.
Like, who would you rather be stranded on an island with, Drew?
Oh, that's
Shania
kind of a no-brainer.
Shania Twain or you're going to say Timberlake. You're on an island. There's no girls coming.
I mean, I think it's a different question.
Girls will come. You have Shania Twain.
Are you nuts?
He says.
Like, are you nuts? Wow. I love this.
You're such an idiot. Like, I mean, it really is unbelievable. Like, the fact that someone married you is like the biggest, like.
He's actually a really
the
nice
biggest
guy.
Miracle.
He's a nice guy.
But he locked that down early. That was like from 16.
That's a good point. That's
she didn't have a chance to go out and see the world.
The
experience
crazy thing is,
she locked it down early.
The crazy thing is, I met her. She's actually normal.
She's actually really cool. Yeah. She's really cool.
Good for Kevin.
Like, I would understand if she was like someone that like didn't speak English and never seen the world, like an arranged marriage.
Yeah.
Like if you know, some chick from Slovakia was forced. Like,
I gotta be honest though, Morenci. Look at Drew's portfolio. It's like double or triple as good as ours. He's living forever. He has great meals. He's probably got $10,000 in his mattress saved. Like, he's got so much money, time, and good things going on. Like, he makes me feel like a loser.
He doesn't have
$10,000. He's got, trust me, he's loaded.
He's got a Justin Timberlake
He doesn't talk
poster.
About it.
He's got a Justin Timberlake poster in his room. What do you have? You have like a little Justin Timberlake thing, you know, keychain hanging on your dash when you drive into work every day?
Great golfer, Justin Timberlake.
All right, anyways, Gary. Tom Brady, $7,700 coming up against your Dolphins.
Sounds expensive.
Good play.
Yeah, it's a good play.
Is that just the automatic play?
I mean,
I took him last week.
I would say that I prefer Russell Wilson at that price, too.
Really? Wilson lights up San Francisco?
You save $700 by going to Wilson. I think that it's a great matchup for every offensive player against the 49ers, but I think Wilson's the guy who you really just guarantee at this point. I mean, Wilson, for all the faults and for all the offensive line issues and for the slow start he had this season, which you can attest to, Cam, he is the number one player in fantasy football this year. Kind of flying under the radar a little bit. Like, Russell Wilson just gets it done. So I think Brady's a great play. Like, I think Gronkowski is the play at tight end.
Is there a cheap guy, a quarterback? I was going to ask you about the Colts and the Titans game, guys.
I was going to say, how about Tyrod Taylor as a cheaper guy against Kansas City?
If you love the narrative, yeah.
I do love the narrative.
Kansas City's secondary is so bad, they signed Darrell Revis this week.
Don't you believe in miracles, Gabe?
Pretty bold, Cam. Pretty bold. I'm a Bills fan. Pretty bold.
No, but like Kansas City lately, they've shown they've been very bad on defense. They haven't been doing anything.
Look,
they lost
Eric Berry. Yeah. They only have one cornerback. Like I said, they just had to sign Darrell Revis. That's waving the white flag if I've ever seen one.
A contrarian one from a guy that struggled the last time he threw four interceptions, Marcus Mariota. He still ended up with 21 DK points. Now he's getting this Colts defense. No one's going to want him.
I'll say this. I think this week specifically, if you're playing the Sunday slate of contests, I think you can save money at running back, so spend up at quarterback and wide receiver, and even tight end. Because, again, I think Gronkowski going up against a Dolphins defense that has just hemorrhaged touchdowns and tight ends this season, that's a great matchup and a great spot for him. And I think the running back position, like, I think Devontae Booker, especially in a full-point PPR like DraftKings.
Against the Raiders.
Yeah, against the Raiders, that's a great spot. The Raiders giving up 6.4 receptions
to running
backs this season.
Not to mention a bunch of Raider defenders walked out today again.
Sounds
because
great.
They fired Norton out of protest. Yeah. They fired their DC.
And I think McKissick's a good play too. I mean, Eddie Lacy is not long for this world. And I think JD McKissick, he had 12 touches in the second half of that game.
I'm going to tell you guys something. Eddie Lacy is not going to be in the NFL. Like, he is horrible. Like, he's absolutely. I watch every Seattle game.
I didn't know the Seahawks signed Mike Davis, and he looked great.
I know. Mike Davis was going. The problem is, every time they get a back, they get hurt. And then we have to go back to Eddie Lacy, who sucks. Well, and then he gets hurt.
The one good game they've had as a rushing offense this season, you go back to week three, was against the San Francisco 49ers. The game Chris Carson ran for 92 yards.
Chris Carson was great.
Chris Carson, rest in peace as well. But, like, I think McKissick has the role this week. I think McKissick is the running back. And the 49ers, most points to running backs in PPR settings. So,
man, this show's just flown by. We've only got 1 minute. Wow. Gary, and a player that I actually circled, and I see that you have on a list as well in a minute, Sammy Watkins.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you right now, I think he's going to walk. I don't think he's happy with the Rams, even though they're winning. I think he's tailor-made to be with the Houston Texans. Hopkins, Watkins, Deshaun Watson, the Clemson reunion.
It's a nice lineup.
And like he'll be happy there. And if it doesn't work there, then Sammy, I don't know what to tell you. But now with Robert Woods out, who is the big target machine, along with Cooper Kupp. So who would you rather have here? $5,000 Kupp, Watkins, $4,900. Lattimore could miss the game for the Saints.
Lattimore's in a walking boot, so I think he's probably going to miss the game. For the Saints, you can take this easy. You don't need him for this game. You save him for the playoffs. I think if you're playing in a cash game, you want Cooper Kupp. He's the safer option. The volume share is going to be there. But we know that Sammy's, you know, he's due for an 80-yard touchdown about every
time. And if it doesn't happen now, with Lattimore out and with no Woods around.
This is the game. So I think that if you're playing on a GPP, it's Sammy. Cash game, you go a little bit safer with Cooper Kupp. Yep.
Guys, great show today. It flew by. I got some plays of the day. Next, me and Cam will be back tomorrow at noon, Red Heat and Rage Radio, the rotation tomorrow, and, of course, game time decisions tomorrow and everything else in between. Renzi Unfiltered will really focus in on a great cup. We'll come back with our plays of the day next.
The award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network is your free fantasy source 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. You can catch this show and many others live on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app, iHeartRadio, or TuneIn Radio. Want to listen on your computer at work? Go to fntsy.com/radio or check us out on YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page, where you can ask questions, discuss topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your questions on the air. The number is 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 days a year fantasy sports network of its kind without a subscription. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your fantasy source.
All All right, we got to be quick. We got a bunch of plays. We've only got about a minute to do it, so let's pound this back quicker than you're pounding back your Thanksgiving dinner. Dallas Cowboys, all right, they're underdogs. They're humiliated. Philadelphia Eagles talking about how they quit and they're gutless and it was the easiest game of the year. That's bad news for the Chargers. Also bad news, Phillip Rivers just 9-16 in his career as a road dog. Give me the Dallas Cowboys in a bounce-back situation with Tyron Smith back. Sean Lee's not back, so it's going to be a high-scoring game. Over 19.5 completion for Dak Prescott. Let's go long field goal in the nice conditions there. Over 46.5. Give me the New York Giants plus 7. Last 5 years, Redskins never beaten the Giants by more than 6 points. Let's go over the number 44.5. Orleans Dark One's going to go over 64.5 rushing yards. It's the Egg Bowl. Big game, man. I think Mississippi hang around, but I like the over even better. We're going to hammer the over, and let's go over Rhode Island, Seton Hall. Other than that, you're on your own, man. It'll be yours.